Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Welcome to episode 26 of the Green Leaf Podcast, and as you can see, we've upgraded a few things. Let's get into it. Play the intro.
I'm a Greek Australian. That's why I look like this, but I sound like this.
Okay, so yes, you can see that I have acquired some new technology with my newfound money. I did this for you. This isn't some selfish thing. This is for you. So the audio quality is better. And so I can make videos, to be honest. And that's what I wanted to talk about in this podcast. Last podcast, I talked about what I have done that got me to this point. In this podcast, I'm going to talk about what I will do. But yeah, I'll tell you how my last week went. It's Monday morning, and I want to get these videos, these podcasts done every Monday morning, so that, you know, just starts off the week productively. And so, okay, you know, last week I bought some new tech. I bought myself a drone. I'm going to put on the screen now some of the drone shots I got of the beautiful location I went to over the weekend. I also bought a car, a Toyota RAV4 2007. Now, okay, let's talk about, that'll be the first topic for today. Buying a car in Greece, what is that like? Now, I grew up with my uncles and aunties and so on really not having a great time with the Greek government in any sort of administrative capacity. But to be honest, maybe because times have changed, or maybe because they didn't really speak Greek, or maybe because they're not as persistent as me, I haven't found it so hard. So let's go through my process of buying a car in Greece. So to be honest, it really wasn't that bad. Now, I bought a car 10 years ago. Almost exactly 10 years ago. I'm 26 now, and when I was 16, I think, I bought a car in Australia, a black Mazda 2. I'll put up a picture of what that looked like. And but I would end up sleeping in that little bad boy for a few weeks in my time. Which was pretty funny. It wasn't funny, I'd cry myself to sleep. But 10 years later, so I bought a car in Australia, I bought it from a dealer. I did crash it into the back of a Chinese dude. He had a yellow Honda Jazz, and I was just changing the music, and hit the brakes, but it was a bit wet from rain, and I hit him in the back of him at near Ramsgate. I don't know where Ramsgate is, but it feels like Ramsgate. And Ramsgate, UK, of course, UK. And I don't know if that was Ramsgate. Maybe it was Ramsgate. It was near like a Lebanese chicken shop, I remember. Man, it's so weird to look at, like, I'm a big Google Maps guy. Like, whenever I'm on a boring call, I'm on Google Maps. But, and I always have this theory, among many, got the steady many theories that I have. If I close my eyes, in my house right now, just because of my memory of this city of Athens, I could walk to the Acropolis and back. Because I know the streets. like subconsciously, you know? And I think, how many cities do I know like that? Where like, I could, just in my head, I could explain to you so perfectly, I could lead a blind man through the streets of Athens. Or if someone's, you know, coming to Athens for the first time, I could say, okay, on your left, you're gonna see graffiti that says, Ruvar 13 here, and then on the right, you're gonna see an old dude has a cafe every day. Like, that's how well I know this city. And I know a lot of cities that well, right? The first of which, I know this is a detour, but the first of which was Sydney. But like, and like, I grew up in Sylvania Waters. But now I really can't remember. It's really fading away. Rockdale, that sounds familiar. Maybe that's where I, there's a mosque there now? Maybe that's where I crashed into the Chinese guy. Okay, so anyway, let me finish that one insane point. There are a lot of cities where I know it back to front, like Larnaca, Cyprus, back to front, no problem. Athens, obviously. Kithira, Potamor, Ayepalia, I know pretty damn well. Like, I could lead a blind man through it. That's pretty much it for the Greek world. Denmark, when I was in Norbro, I really, because I walked everywhere. That's the thing. If you walk through a city, you know back to front. You know what I'm saying? You go over Louise's Bridge. I'm looking at Google Maps, so I know I'm not screen sharing, but I lived, final screen share. Oh my God. So high maintenance. Screen share. Record. So I lived, holy shit, it was right here. So, I mean, living in, I'm trying to get to a point here, but I keep distracting myself. So if we go back out here, this is Louise's Bridge. And I found, and it was 2020, August 2020, I left Rhodes and I came here. And this bridge, I mean, the Nordics are living in La La Land. Just La La Land. It's literally a, they just live in such peace and prosperity. It's like La La Land to someone who's lived in a chaotic city. Like, one thing that we can't get right in the Greek world is this part. The road, we can't get right, obviously. We can't put lines on roads. We're not good at lines on roads. The only suburb in Athens that has good lines on roads and has order in parking is the suburb where the Greek Prime Minister and President live, right? I'm not going to go there because you're going to see where I live. Or unless I move all my saves. There we go. Hide on your map. Hide on your map. Hide on your map. Hide on your map. Okay. Anyway. So here in Copenhagen, I lived in Copenhagen during COVID, right? And I found a place on Airbnb. And here's a little tip for if you're a little traveler like me. If you go on Airbnb, everything's up for negotiation, okay? Let's say Githera, right? You want to go from this time to this time, and you see the prices. Let's go to the most expensive. Anytime you travel somewhere, that place looks lovely. There's a place in Yerakadi that I want to buy, but it's $1 million out of my budget. What's the most expensive place in Githera? $5,000. Come on, let's get a bit more expensive. Let's ramp it up. $5,800. $8,000. These people are living in La La Land. $14,000. $15,000. $1,000 a night. That's going to be the most expensive. $16,000. That's the most expensive. Okay. This place is... Where is that? Ah, it's in Chora. I mean, I don't like the architecture, to be honest. It's too wide and plain. Wow. That's a bedroom window. Holy shit. Imagine you sitting up there, scrolling on Instagram Reels, and then you look over your phone for half a second, you see that view. It looks like a poster. All right. That's pretty dope. And that looks like a poster, too. That's pretty dope, man. I'll give it to ya. Nice little garden. Look, I'm also, and we'll get to this at some point if I ever get off my ADHD tangents, but I have a big announcement in this, in something related to this. Anyway, so my point is, when I traveled all the time, I would message a host and be like, hey buddy, I see it's about 15 grand for a week. How about we do 9? You know, because is that the best price you can do? That's all I say half the time. When I'm trying to negotiate, which is my job, I just say, is that the best price you can do? And half the time they're like, nah, I can do better. Okay, show me. That is a beautiful table. What do I get one of those? This was the most expensive one. I think it's the same as the other one. Oh no, it's just, yeah, it is. Anyway. So negotiate, always negotiate. Everything's up for negotiation. Anyway, and there was this older woman, I'd say she was maybe 60, 70. I don't really know what old people ages are, to be honest. And I came here in August 2020. Yeah. And there's the Yellow Cafe somewhere here. Yeah, Cafe Salonen. And I was sitting like right here, dog. Right here. And this is where one of my jokes, my first good joke, my first good story started. I'd been doing comedy a year. And this happened to me. This story happened to me. Well, half of it, and then I'm just went along with it. Let my brain go along with it. The what could have happened. But let me find vlog season 2024. Yeah, I was in Athens, Barcelona, Rhodes, Lindos, Copenhagen. So anyway, I was in Copenhagen and... It really is just an amazing city. Like, I would live there at any time. It just is lovely. And I remember I got the Forbes 30 under 30 for Greece there, which is a scam, in my opinion now, which breaks my heart because I used to look up to that stuff. Surprise, surprise, I'm talking about how I'm gonna grind. A new era. It was about Renaissance and Phoenix Risings with this guy. But I had a great time. I had a great friend there, Peter. He was cool. I dated an awesome girl there, Catherine. but it's just a great city. And anyway, I ended up knowing that city back to back. And when I was sitting here on the first day with all my bags, is this guy breastfeeding? An Arab dude was riding his bike past here. And he looked at me, stopped his bike and came over to me. He's like, Assalamu alaikum. And my mum was on the phone. She's like, what the fuck did that guy just say? Because I would always jokingly say to my mum, like answer the phone to my mum, Salam. And she'd be like, Salam alaikum, because she worked for Etihad or some shit. And anyway, she's like, what the fuck just happened? It was kind of like a weird thing. And then he's like, oh, how did you do that? I'm like, ah, I don't know what he's saying. He goes, oh, you know Arabic? I'm like, no. He goes, oh, okay. Anyway, I got to really know Copenhagen, and I lived here. And this is a weird, wild story, I tell you. But these streets are so, like, look how well they just do footpaths and street lines and parking. Like, I parked my car that I bought last week on the street, but I as soon as the safest spot on the street opens up, I park it there. I've seen four cars get like, just they're parked, and then a car will like eat half of the fucking car when they're trying to turn because Greeks are terrible drivers. Anyway, so I lived here and I negotiated on Airbnb with this lady. Where is it? I've got too many videos opened up. Anyway. So I lived in this beautiful building and there would be a fat little cat. Oh, fine. I've got to find the video. I've got to see this fat little cat again. That I would say hello to every now and then when I would go to the gym and stuff like that. But I ended up, because I walked the streets, and I always walked and ran the streets of every kind of city I went to, I got to know the streets very, very well, at least in my little neighborhood. I remember this garden, this little castle, was the castle of a family that ended up being the German-Danish kings of Greece. And I remember going in the treasury room and thinking, the profits from their holdings paid for these jewels. Instead of going to the country, this, which, you know, is a stretch. Yeah, there I am, in the street. I had my little bike, could rent a bike there. Imagine having a business that you're renting out bikes and you just park them in the street. In Athens, I park whatever they ready for there. You get that thing will be stolen in 24 hours or less. Where's the cat? Anyway, I really enjoyed Copenhagen and I got to know it very well. And I was, I always liked Stoicism, but I was just reading more about anxiety. And Kierkegaard has a great book and thoughts on anxiety. And his gravesite and this beautiful park was just a couple meters away, 100 meters away. There was a cafe here that served multi-grain, multi-grain croissants. They were delicious. And I remember the first time I went in, I was trying to pay with cash, and they're like, oh, no, Saudi, we only card. I'm like, but the card is symbolizing what I have in reality, that we don't take cash. I'm like, okay. And I just paid card. And there was a candy shop here that I would go to because I was a little boy living in La La Land. But I didn't even know it, but this is like, oh my God, this pizza place. Where was it there? There was a sandwich shop here that was insane. I think it was that place, but it doesn't. King of Kebab doesn't sound right. Nah, it can't be that place. Where's the sandwich shop? I remember there was an African restaurant here. That was also very good, but I didn't even know it. But this is where all the immigrants and stuff were. Immigrants that look like me. There was an African place here that had insane food. Like, delicious. And I went on a date there. Is it this place? Afrikanske? Yeah. I went on a date there and it did not go well. She did not like it. She's like, respectfully, I don't want to see you again. I was like, oh, that's fine. It doesn't hurt my feelings. This guy looks like he's wearing a kebab jacket. A jacket covered in kebabs. Images. Anyway, I need to find this up. But like, if you said to me, could you direct someone around Copenhagen, which is exactly what I'm doing right now, basically, I could definitely do it for these suburbs at least. Mexican place, Taqueria, that's a lovely place. Like, no, bro, I would live there at the drop of a hat in summer. Not to mention, the women are gorgeous. Not that that's a reason to move to a city. Where is this sandwich joint? I remember it was like an intersection. That's not it. I remember one time I dated a girl in Bali, in Indonesia. And then she's like, oh, well, you know, I live in Copenhagen, so see ya. I was like, all right, fair enough. And does everyone have this same coat? I'm never going to find this sandwich joint. It was like an Italian sub type place. Italian sandwich, no, bro. Non solo pizza. It was this place. Why did it say kebab on the front? Wait, that's not the same place. Dude, where is it? Non solo pizza. Oh, yep, that's the one. If you're in Copenhagen, go here, get a little sandwich for yourself. Tell them I sent you, they won't know who I am. But I knew Norbro back to front. And not even just Norbro. Like, the lake thing, this whole lake area. And then I remember one time I walked up here, and these parks are just gorgeous parks. And I remember, I don't know, I was just hanging out with a girl and she was like taking me here, and then there was like a Freemason. The Order of the Freemasons. Yeah, see, I got memory like a motherfucker. I'm remembering all this shit. And anyway, there was a bar that we would go to. Yeah, here's my sub, no bro. And there was a bar called Friheden. Friheden. Is that actually right? Is it? It was like a skate park in front of it. Oh, what the fuck? Yep. Dude, my memory is insane. So my point, my larger point here is that there are cities. There's like 5 or 6 cities. The same with Barcelona. Like Barcelona, I know back to front, dude. Like most, mainly because when I lived in an apartment across the road from the hospital. I lived in this apartment. Sorry, this apartment. And I would train on the rooftop here. Across the road from the hospital, overlooking Camp Nou. And because it was COVID at the start of 2020, I ran like every single street in the city. I know back to front. Kind of the same with Nice, but not so much in France. Anyway, Playa del Carmen, I ran that city back to front. Oh yeah, Canggu, Bali. Again, back to front. Tan a lot. My point is, there are some cities that you know back to front, and I don't really know Sydney back to front anymore. Was that my point? I think that was my point. Anyway, Pepita Market, why does that sound so familiar? Oh yeah, because I went there all the time. Man, it's so weird to have gone from traveling all the time to not traveling at all, basically. So anyway, this weekend, you got to start the podcast with a bit of ADHD running around Google Maps, huh? So I bought a car. And really, I just went to car.gr. I was looking for SUVs and 4x4s for a long time, way before I had the capability to buy one. And eventually, I just found one. So I wanted something under 150,000 kilometers. Look, in Greece and in Europe, you just always buy secondhand. Like buying new, I don't know. We just don't fucking do it. I put in like a few requirements. Category 4x4. More filters. I put in Attica because I'm not leaving Athens to buy a car. And yeah, and then I just went through, and the ones I liked, I pressed his P thing, and then he brought me to my parking category, and this was the car I bought. Anyway, and then I texted the guy. I was like, hey, I see you have it listed for 10 grand. The best I can do is 9. And then he's like, all right, done. And then I went and saw it, and then I'm like, ooh, the car was perfect. I'm like, ooh, how about 8,500? He's like, how about 8,800? I'm like, okay. I'm like, let's take it to the mechanic and we'll see. Took it to my mechanic around the corner. And he's like, man, this fucking car's good. Fucking great car. He didn't say it like that. He doesn't speak English. And then I'm like, all right, let's go buy it. We went down to the Kep, 2 minutes away. And I just took my passport. And within 15, 20 minutes, it was done. I had to pay some like small taxing. It was like 20 euros. That's a tax for the transfer. And then... I wanted to stop in Rio de Janeiro, this fortress, because I go past all the time, but I've never actually been in. But I didn't do it this time anyway. And also Antirio, but I didn't do that either. And I just went straight, and I also wanted to go stop in Missolonghi, make a video about that, but I didn't do that. I just went straight here to Preveza, or Preveza City, represent. That's a long story. And then I went straight to the walls of Nicopoli. Now, one of my favorite YouTubers went here. And it doesn't give you real scale. You see the pictures, you're like, oh, cool, you know, some fucking walls. But like, it's insane. The city is insane. So I just drove in, right? And... you can't really see it, but there's like a, it's like a square. The city is kind of like a square. And here's the walls. You can drive along the walls. I think this is the inner walls, and then the larger walls are like this. And it's huge. I mean, you just can't see right. But I drove in, I think, from this direction. And I saw, and I came here to the Odeon. I'll play some of the drone footage I got since I bought a drone the day before. The Odeon is beautiful. They had a bunch of the, you know, current live, you know, stage equipment set up. I was there with one other Slovakian guy and his girl. He's like, oh, are you a YouTuber? I'm like, yeah. But no one watches. So and then I drove down here to the gate. And this wall is what was very impressive. So this wall, if you can see it from Google Maps, this is the inner bastion, right? And this wall goes all the way down here and then kind of ends here, or the ruins end at least. But if I show you an ancient map of Nicopolis, it'll make a bit more sense. What an amazing website, by the way, just quietly. Greece, fucking awesome. So here, this is the gate that I go through. Let me just pull it up so you can see what I'm talking about. So this was me at the Odeon. This is the gate. This is this gate here, Citadel Gate, Odeon, Citadel Gate. And so this was the inner citadel. Oh, it says it there. And then... this is the Great Gate, which I did not see. I don't think it actually exists anymore. Google Maps. Great Gate. Great Gate. Great Gate. I mean, honestly, when I come to power in Greece as Prime Minister, oh my God, I made a whole video plan about this. That I'm going to make a full-on video, like a 10-minute video, called Diversifying Greek Tourism, where basically, like, we should build out the ideas that we should build out. I went here to Mythikas, and I just realized that this city is also called Mythikas. Anyway. So my point is, Nikopoli, if I was in power, I would, when I'm in power as Prime Minister, I'm going to completely buy up all the farmland here and make sure they all get paid well, and then open it up as a massive, the biggest like archaeological dig. All bloody academics and archaeologists are welcome. I'm opening the whole thing up, and it's going to be a huge tourist slash academic destination, which will massively boost tourism in this area, because archaeologists are funded by big billion-dollar corporations, individuals, and universities. And then you'll be able to, just like I did, drive through Nikopoli. Because it's an ancient city that I drove through here, right? I drove through the walls. It's like a safari for history. I can't describe it any better. I don't think I have the capability to. But just look at some of these drone footage. Like this was, you can see the ancient walls there. That's the Odeon. But there's just farms through here, and that's fine. But they should be compensated in those farms. I'm cool with the olive groves and all that stuff, but this is an archaeological site that should be of major importance for this area, right? You can see the spillet here in the wall. This was the capital of Southern Epirus for a long time. And not just that, it's beautiful. We'll get to that part. But this whole area, and you know, I really do believe that Greece has, you know, B and C and D tier archaeological sites and, you know, tourist sites that should be A tier. So, like, I think that Greek tourism should be, like, the big problems that Greece has with tourism is that, one, we don't make our average order value or our lifetime customer value per tourist is very low. It's lower than Portugal's. We make two-thirds of what a tourist to Portugal makes, the kind of what Portugal makes from a tourist there. So out of 30 million tourists that we get, Portugal makes the same money from 20 million. So we're supporting 10 million, an entire population of Greece worth of tourists for the same price of 20 million. Insane. So anyway, I think Nikopolis should be a major destination for academia and tourism. It should be a whole safari. Like this whole area should be just archaeology, right? Because it was this Ambracian Gulf that Cleopatra, Mark Antony, tried to defeat and were defeated by Augustus and Agrippa, which was basically the start of the Roman Empire. And then we have, like, even, I didn't even go to Las Caras. I'm sure that has some connection to Las Caras, maybe it doesn't. Fort. Like, this area is just huge with history. So this whole region here should be an archaeological park under my reign. This is the new city of Nikopoli. Here is the Nikopoli Stadium. I thought it was an amphitheater, so I was wrong. Oh, no, it is. Oh, it's a stadium. Oh, my God. I didn't even go there. Well, it's covered. It's covered up, sorry. And this theater is gorgeous. I went there. That was great. But I also wanted to go to and went to Octavian's Trophy Monument of Nikopoli. That was great. There's nothing really left, but it was great to go there. This region could be massive, and Preveza could be massively boosted with tourism. With this massive archaeological site, bringing in the academics, bringing in the money, and this should be a site that everyone goes to. You come to Greece, you go to Nikopoli. I said the same for Anastasiopoli. So this is somewhere I went on my march across Greece. March across Greece, Anastasiopoli. It's not going to come up. Yeah, I overestimated my fame. So this is another city, and it's much older and much more significant, in my opinion. But again, it's just completely covered. Aqueducts, Thalassia, abandoned Roman town. So this is the Metaxa wall. Me ranting about history. Look at this beautiful gate. Now, this does not have as much history to see structures as Nicopoli. I got to go somewhere here, right? Frurio. Yeah, it's not called fucking Frurio. I think it's there, right? Don't tell me they don't even have it indicated on the map. Pretty sure it's here. This is ancient Anastasiopoli. I'm pretty sure. Unless I'm wildly off. No, I'm right. Yeah. How can I... I mean, it's sad. This whole thing should be an archaeological site. And people should be coming from all around the world to visit it. And if you want to plant, the trees, replant them here. Buy that land, replant them there. This should be an archaeological site. That's my second destination for tourism. Olympia. Olympia is already a destination for tourism. I appreciate that. But I believe that we should pay for the reconstruction of one of the ancient wonders of the world. And that, of course, is the Temple of Zeus. Not just one pylon thing. The whole thing. Well, as much as we can. Because a lot of the pieces are actually there. And I'm sure with some of the more recent technology, we could figure something out. And that could be a much bigger site. Because right now, Olympia is like a B, C tier tourist site. Like, a lot of people go there and do their little run in the stadium. But if one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, which there's only one left, and that's the pyramids, if one of them was rebuilt to some capacity, just like the Parthenon is being rebuilt, I think we'd get more tourists there, right? What else? Olympia, Rhodes. Okay, Rhodes is very touristy, let's be honest. But again, one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. It doesn't even need to be to the scale. This little port here, which is this one here, there's a doe statue or a stag statue. It doesn't need to be the same size and it doesn't need to be the same materials. Just make a Colossus of Rhodes. Would it kill you to make a Colossus of Rhodes? I know it doesn't, you know, Rhodes doesn't need the tourists, but make a Colossus of Rhodes, please. Se para calo. Mistras and Sparta, that needs to be so much more famous, right? So just promote it more. Mistras is awesome, and so is Sparta, but it just needs to be told in the right way. The story and Byzantium and just needs to be told in a better way, better storytelling and more infrastructure. And the last was money. But anyway, my point is this. I went to Nicopoli. It was awesome. And the coup de grace for me was... the site was amazing here. Really quite amazing. And then I was like, should I try and make a run for it to see the aqueduct? I was like, yeah, fuck it. Let's go try. And where's the aqueduct? Because when you think about it, Greece isn't really known for its aqueducts, like Italy is, or like Segovia or Constantinople, right? But look at this amazing aqueduct. Obviously, no work has been put into restoration, but it skirted through the mountains, literally through the mountains, like tunnels. And I got an amazing drone shot. Of the aqueduct, and I just caught it as the sun was setting. Look at that. Just perched in the mountains. Amazing, right? And this is something, this is a city this aqueduct, of course, is part of the infrastructure around and that supported Nicopoli. It just blows my mind how little people care about some of the C, D tier places in Greece. Anyway, so we bought a car, we tested it around, we went all the way here, past Preveza, and then I went to this restaurant that I just picked from Google Maps. I call him up. I always call him up, and a little travel tip for you. I saw this guy. He was wearing the same shirt. He was cleaning fish. I go, bro, I want the best seat in the house. They're like, all right, asshole. And I sat right here in front of the little lighthouse thing. And the water was like right at my feet. All this, I don't know if it was high tide or what, but the water was right at my toes. It was nibbling at my toes. Food was good. Seafood was pretty amazing. I looked for hotels in this entire region and all of them were booked and I couldn't figure out why. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm not going to let Dutch tourists stop me from staying somewhere I want to go in Greece. So I just went camping, of course. And I went for a little midnight dip here. And as I'm coming out of the water, some guy with his crew, like Greek guy, just started singing. And the guy sung like an angel too. I was like, this is very romantic. I had a nap and I couldn't really sleep because there was a panigiri happening in Mitikas, which I missed because I was trying to sleep. No wonder I couldn't find a place to sleep. There was a dam here? I went here specifically for history and I didn't even see this dam. Damn. See, here, these are like DEFT history places. But that's what needs to be. We need to diversify the locations for Greece. Anyway, that's enough of our Google Maps ADHD running about. Let me end that screen share. Oh, and let's talk about the big news for this podcast. Last year, every year I try and do a big challenge for myself beyond my normal life challenges, something that I go out of my way to do. Last year, I walked across the entirety of Greece from the most northerly point to the most southerly point of mainland Greece and got a Guinness World Record, and we raised some money for Greek orphanages, so that was good. And it was a really challenge. And it's called a Mesogi. I don't know, what's the exact Mesogi? It's in Greek. Can you write it in English? Mesogi is a Japanese word referring to a Shinto practice of ritual purification by washing the entire body, often involving immersion in cold water like a waterfall. It's a process of cleansing the mind, body, and spirit. It can also be interpreted as a year-defining challenge, or a way to step out of one's comfort zone. Ritual purification. Physical purification. The practice is seen as a way to connect with the divine and achieve spiritual awakening. Remove impurities and negative influences. A year-defining challenge. Mesogi can be understood as a personal challenge, a defining moment that someone commits to each year. This challenge should be something significant, difficult, and potentially scary, pushing the individual outside of their comfort zone. Examples include physical feats like running a marathon, starting a business, or overcoming a personal fear. Stepping out of your comfort zone. Mesogi emphasizes the importance of confronting challenges and pushing personal boundaries. So that's what a Mesogi is. And obviously last year for me was walking across Greece, which we have our Guinness World Record for. And more importantly, we raised money for Greek orphanages, which was important to me because my parents were orphans. Although they're Greek orphans, even though, I wasn't. My parents were. And that was important and I'm glad we did that. Why I liked it so much as a challenge, because I had many little challenges throughout the year, but I liked it so much as a challenge because in the months and weeks leading up to it, when I went to bed, I always, you know, you go to bed and you start thinking, what do I got to do tomorrow? You know, I've got to go through this. No, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about, I was a bit scared about the fact that I was going to be walking 13 to 15 hours a day in the middle of the darkness, a lot of it. Yeah, and this gave me anxiety. And I was like, I'm doing something right. If I'm getting anxiety from this, I'm doing something right. And over the last few, this year, you know, as soon as I finished that, even before I finished that, everyone, and including myself, asked me, what's next? As much as I'd like to, you know, run across Cyprus, which I'm sure I'll do at some point, and get the Guinness World Record for that, that isn't just a Guinness World Record and isn't just raising money for an orphanage or charity. It's a political statement. And as much as I agree that Cyprus should be one under Greek governance, like Greek Cypriot governance, I don't know if that's exactly my... I'm not Cypriot, you know? I'll probably still do it. But, you know, you have to pick your battles and you also have to, you know your place. I'm not Greek Cypriot. And also, you know, you got to make your bed in the morning before you go tell other people what to do. So with that being said, I also don't think necessarily just a physical challenge is that much of a challenge. So this year, you know, looking at how the years panned out, and the things that came up and however, you know, how life goes, what I found to be something that scared me a bit, that was a bit of a physical challenge, a bit of a management and organizational challenge, a challenge of my stress, a challenge of my mind and mental capacity, and why it is going to be my Masogi for 2025, is I'm going to go and build a farmhouse in my island, on my land, in Kithira. And yeah, it's going to be a challenge. I did a bit of, like, tiny bit of demolition construction experience as a kid, so I'm not completely foreign to a construction site. But I don't know what I'm doing. So it's going to be a challenge, and I'm super hyped for that. Look, it's like a 6,000 square meter plot in Kithira near my dad's village of Botamo. But it's pretty secluded. It's got one neighbor, an English lady, and the rest of the neighborhood is just forest. And by forest, I mean shrubs this tall. It's got a bit of a view of the sea, a bit of a view of mountains, and I'm going to be alone for most of it, which is always a big part of my misogies. Like, okay, I did the march across Greece with Gael, but, you know, most of the day I spent it alone. Physically, it's going to be a challenge, but mentally, I think it's going to be a bigger challenge. Because I'm going to have to learn stuff to a professional level. Because I don't want to build a shitty house that's going to fall over. I'm going to have to follow instructions, which I'm really not good at. I'm really not good at following instructions. I just kind of do whatever the fuck I want, which is not good sometimes. So I'm going to build this farmhouse, somewhere that I can live when I go to Kithira. My friends, my cousin can stay when we go there. And... yeah, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm going to have a pretty good swing at it this winter. So I'm going to go to Kithira September, and I might just stay all of winter into next year. I'm sure I'll do a trip here back to Athens at some point. I'm going to take all my gear, all my podcasts and video gear down to Kithira, find like a little office or something, and produce videos from there. And I'm going to make a series out of March Across Greece, I was going to say. I'm going to make a series out of building this farmhouse on Instagram and on YouTube. Because it's been a dream of mine for a long time. And I also watch all these, you know, in Portugal and in Italy, all these people who, you know, build farmhouses. You know, they're city people, city slickers like me. And they go and build out these farmhouses, and I respect them so much because it's exactly what I want to do. And I've seen enough people do it to know what, you know, an idiot like me can and can't do. I can build the walls after with a bit of instruction and a lot of YouTube videos. You know, I'll get a local builder to come and tell me how to do this and that. But look, electricity and plumbing, I'm just going to pay someone to do it. I'll learn on the job and I'll document it, but I'm not fucking that up. The big farm, you know, the olive trees, the walls for the steps because it's on a hill, I can do that. That's just hard labor. I can do hard labor. I'm just a mule, you know me, dog. I just want to dig holes for a living. Setting up the fence and setting up the gardening and, you know, all this stuff. I got a good picture for how I want it done. And I'm going to document the whole thing. And it's going to be a challenge of, again, being solo, being in a small village, being around family for the first time in a long time. And just connecting a bit more with nature. The good thing is, there's no reason for me to stop working on my business and my video business and my media business that I'm kicking off. No reason. I'm going to get a little office somewhere in Puerto Amor or just a room or wherever I'm going to stay. Get a table, set up some plants in the background, get my lights, take my lights. I'm going to pack it all into my car, bring the fucking podcast mic, and I go. There's no reason not to just do it there. The other great thing too is I want to get back into shape, thoroughly back into the shape, with a lot of hikes in Gitara. And I'm going to eat right because it's almost impossible not to eat healthy in Gitara. And there's the best gym I've been to in the world is in Gitara too. I don't know how it's so good, but I forget the name. It's like the best gym I've ever been to. It's amazing. So it's going to be great. And just like I'm going to try and do, you know, copy a lot of what my favorite YouTuber is doing. Just be like, hey, anyone who wants to help can come and help. If you want to camp on the land, camp on the land. As long as you help out, I'll feed you. And try and make it as communal as I can during the building process. And, you know, part of it is, you know, I'm obviously building something that's adding value to my property. Financially, it's helping me. More than anything, I want to have a place for myself on my island where I'm from. For someone who hasn't had a home in a long time, it's a big thing to build your own home with your own two hands. And I feel like that's a very human experience that I would love to have. As someone who makes fantastical money from the internet, not fantastical money from scale, just because it doesn't make sense that I sit on a laptop and I make more money than I ever did from manual labor and real work. It feels good. I think it'll feel good to do some manual labor, you know? Manual labor, building a farm. I talked to my father who owns the land and I said, I'll buy it off you. He said, you can buy it off me for the price of all the transfer taxes and back taxes and all that stuff, which might come up to a cost of like maximum $5,000, which is a fair price for a land that's pretty much bare. And that just requires work, I think. It's just, there's nothing there. And then no one wants to buy it, so it's not of much value. But after I'm done with it, I think it'll be of some value. It'll be of much value to me. And I'm happy to pay for the fees and stuff. That's only fair. So yeah, I'm buying a patch. I'm buying a farm for $5,000. And I'm doing up a farmhouse as my misogi for 2025 and into 2026. It'll be a challenge, but I'm happy with it. You know, we'll see how we go. I know I've rambled in like an insane person for the last hour, but I'll leave you there. That's my misogi. And now it's about preparation. And just the same way that the Montreal Greece scared me, this kind of scares me because I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't really want to fuck it up. And because I'm going to be videoing it, I'll be fucking up publicly. That's what I want to say. I also want this to be an example that city slickers from the West, like me, can find a plot of land on the cheap, because a lot of the time, families, Greek families, want to sell off their land that they're not going to do anything with it, because they have to pay the taxes on it. Because if they're not monetizing and they're not farming it, then it's just a strain on their, they have to pay the land taxes. And so, like, I don't think the tax has been paid for most people's land in Greece for like decades. So for someone to come in and say, here's 10 G's, 5 G's, let me take it off your hands. You're like, fuck it, get rid of it, at least so I don't have to pay the land taxes. That's a very big movement in Portugal and Italy. Definitely, very much Portugal, right? And I always look at Portugal as the only real, if any, comparison to Greece. Greece didn't have an empire like Portugal, the wealthiest empire and the first mover of colonization who benefited from, more than anybody, Portugal benefited and was the real slave traders. All those profits were funneled into Portugal. And now Portugal is the best comparison to Greece, who was under Ottoman occupation for under Ottoman occupation for 400 years, and slaves were being taken from Greek populations and sold into Arab slave markets. So somehow Portugal didn't do anything during World War One or World War Two, whereas Greece lost 30% of its population twice during that century. And anyway, my point is that Portugal, being a good comparison to Greece, they just have a lot of Westerners. You know, they have a lot of rich Westerners or reasonably wealthy upper middle class or middle class Westerners, which compared to the home country, to Portugal or Greece, are wealthy. Going into these small towns that have declining populations that are turning into ghost towns, putting money into rebuilding a farm, a farmhouse, or a property, and then living there with their family and raising a family. And I don't know, that sounds fucking great. In Greece, if you go on YouTube and you search up farmhouse build, country house build, I don't think anyone has shown that you can buy a little shitty plot of land in Greece, in the country, and you can develop it into a nice country farm house for you to retire in, raise some kids if you want to have the old, more simple, traditional life. You can do that. And I hope that I can do this. Again, I'm not looking to waste money and put endless money and finances into a money hole that never, shows profit. Maybe one day I want to sell. Maybe one day I don't want to sell and just have it for to retire in. But I want to show that as a Westerner who has started to learn Greek properly when I came here 7 years ago, you can come to Greece, you can buy a farmhouse in a declining in a village that has a declining population, use local laborers and local professionals to help build the house that you want to live and build a beautiful house and dream that you want to live. And, more than anything, I want to do this for Greek diaspora, kids of my generation, my parents' generation, that live in the diaspora and they want to come and retire, want to come and live in Greece. If you work online, I know 3 or 4 lawyers my age who they work online. They're like, I really don't need to be living in Australia or America. And they want to have this life in the country, a bit more traditional. Not as much dopamine addicted behavior, and they would love to come and do this. But I think unless you've seen someone who's a bit more local or a bit closer to doing it, you're not going to have the energy, the know-how, the charisma, the chutzpah to go and do it. So with this process, and I want to document it, I'm also going to be on my website making out a series, I don't have a website yet, making out a series of how and every step I took in the buying process, the tax back paying process, the engineer process, engineer, surveyor, and all this stuff. dealing with neighbors, dealing with this. I'm going to just document it all so that when you say, you know what, maybe I want to go and buy a shitty farm, a shitty house in the village, in the country, in Greece, and what? How do I do that? Look at George's YouTube channel, Instagram, and his website, and it will show you how to do that. How to assimilate, too. Like, I don't know. I would have loved to. I do. I watched this guy, Martin Jullard. He built, renovated a country house in the Dolomites in northern Italy, and this other Portuguese guy who lived in Canada and came back, bought his grandparents' farm, and he's doing it up, and he's a professional farmer. He knows what he's doing. But I watched so many of these farmer dudes, American white dude who learned Italian, bought a family house and did it up in Italy. I love, and there's, you know, Project Camp in Portugal, these Dutch people just going super, super eco, you know, community mode in Portugal. I don't know. I want to do that for Greece. I want to serve as an example for other people to be able to come here and do the same thing, especially Greek diaspora, to come back, to return. I've always said I believe in the right of return. There should be a right of return for Greeks, even fourth generation Greeks. Bum, have a passport. Bum, get yourself into an old village. Put your money into doing up a place, and you'll see how much more satisfied you'll be with life. It's an experiment just as much as it is as a guide. So anyway, that's my misogi for this year. I'm going to start. I got the first topographic map here on the wall. I'll make a specific video separated from this podcast about this. But yeah, this will be my misogi, and I'm starting to make plans. I'm starting to get an idea of how I want to design it, what plants I want, blah, blah, blah. And also, like, you know, in about a month I'm out of Athens. I'll still have my apartment here. I'll just shut up shop and, and get comfortable in Kithida and get that place started up and get this misogi. It's scary to me because, you know, I don't want to fuck up the building. I want it to be beautiful. I want to do right by my grandfather who wanted to build a farmhouse there, by my father who wanted to build a farmhouse there, and by my own dreams and my onira. That wanted to build this out. So, scary dream, and I'm going to dive in head first and hopefully serve as a guide to others to do the same thing, because I would love to see a resurgence in, rich Westerners coming and, a wave of Westerners coming and living not in the major cities and pricing out local Greeks, but in the little towns where they don't want to live, right? And that is a declining population. Anyway, that's my misogi. That's episode 26 of the Green Greeks podcast. I will see you in the next one.